because it is the means by which we are to attain immortality. Without it, we would have no hope of ever receiving the gift of everlasting life. But do you know that our concept and understanding of the resurrection is different from that of many in the world of mainstream religion? We believe that all those who are in the first resurrection will be raised up in the same form as Christ was. But what form was that? Many professing Christians believe and argue that Christ's resurrected body was the same physical body he had when he suffered and died, rather than a transformed, glorified, spirit-composed body. And they accuse us of false belief and even heresy for not believing, along with them, in the so-called bodily resurrection of Christ. And at least one large religious sect believes that all those who attain to the resurrection of the dead will live forever in a paradise on earth as physical, flesh and blood human beings, a physical immortality. Have we believed falsely that when resurrected we will be transformed into glorified spirit beings? Let's see what God's Word, the Bible, says about this, rather than the human speculation and suppositions of men. Now, some of you may be thinking of one of our favorite passages of Scripture concerning the subject of our resurrection. Certainly, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 17 does assure us that we will be raised up at Christ's return. But nothing is said there about what form we shall be in, or of what composition. To find out, we have to look elsewhere. In what we have often referred to as the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of both the resurrection of Christ and of us, or those who are Christ's, at his return. What the Feast of Trumpets is all about. His return, I mean, not just the resurrection. It also gives us more detail about our form and composition. So turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll begin reading in verse 35. In verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?" Exactly the issue we're looking at here today. "Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, what you plant in the ground, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body." I remember as a child watching my parents plant a garden. When I became an adult with a wife and kids, thinking we could save money on food, my wife and I for several years also planted a garden. It's interesting when you see the little green shoots start to come up through the ground. If you dig down in there, maybe it's corn you've planted. You dig down in there, you'll find the remains of a corn seed or a kernel of corn. It's not that seed that's coming up through the ground. It's a green sprig that's coming up from that seed that pokes its head above the ground. If you know anything about germination, you know that the seed has to die in order for a new plant to be born. Verse 42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he came up a spiritual body. You may remember his prayer just before his death in John 17:5. Hold your place here and we'll read exactly what he said. In John 17:5, he said, "And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." He asked to be returned to his previous existence before he became the Son of Man, a divine, glorified spirit being along with the Father. God is spirit, not physical flesh and blood. Now back to 1 Corinthians 15, continuing in verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Christ was raised a life-giving spirit, not a flesh and blood human being. Continuing, verse 46. "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust." That's us now. "And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly." That will be us. "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." We too have to become transformed into spirit beings in order to inherit, in order to be in order to possess, in order to be part of the kingdom of God. Notice what it says in verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." These words describe what we will be, what we'll have to become in the resurrection. And yet, we can only imagine what it means to be actually a spirit being. Our little finite human minds can't fully grasp it. 1 John 3, verse 2. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." If we were to be resurrected as physical human beings, this verse would not be true. It says it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. It has been revealed what we are. If that is what we're to be in the resurrection, then this verse is wrong. "We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We can't see him as he is now. We're human. We're physical. We're limited to the five senses. We can't see or experience anything in the spirit realm. We can't see Christ as he is now. We can read about what he's like in Revelation chapter 1, but all we can do with those words is imagine what it's like. We can't really see it. When we are resurrected, we shall be like him, glorified. We shall see him as he is, as the spirit being that he is. One last scripture to wrap this up, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians was in here this morning. Philippians 3:21, that's breaking into the middle of a sentence, so we'll go back and start in verse 20. "For our citizenship presently is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. With these and other scriptures, it should now be plain that we're not going to be resurrected as physical, flesh and blood, human organisms. We're going to come up out of our graves, or if we're still alive at the time of the second coming, we'll be instantaneously transformed into the same kind of beings that God, the Father, and Jesus Christ are. This account here continues in the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. The bottom line is, neither we nor Christ gain or inherit eternal life in the family and kingdom of God as physical human beings consisting only of matter. We will be raised, resurrected, as glorified spirit beings. So as it says here in chapter 4 and verse 1, let us rely not on the ideas, beliefs, suppositions of spiritually unenlightened human minds, but let us stand fast in the Lord and the teaching of His own word.